Turn with me, if you would, to Matthew chapter 17. Matthew chapter 17. A few weeks ago, we were here and we looked at our Lord's transfiguration, where he spoke with Moses and Elijah in glory. And God the Father spoke out loud from heaven. And what we're going to look at for this Bible study, and we'll be here again for our message here in just a moment, all of this goes together, all right? This is all one account, one happening. It all goes together. It has the same theme. It says the same thing. And I'm going to go ahead and tell you what it is right now. This was the point a few weeks ago. This is the point right now, and this is going to be the point in just a minute in our message here in just a moment. All right? Hear Him. Look to Him. Believe on Him. That's it. Behold Him. Come to Him. It's all about Him. That's the point. It's all about Him. It's all about Him. I used to work for Home Depot. And while I was there, there was a girl who worked there. She's a little older than I was. And we were all standing around talking. And she was sincerely asking the question, "What is the point of life?" She said, "Why are we here?" I didn't say anything. I didn't know what to say. But I know what the answer is now. Him. It's all about Him. Worship is all about Him. Life is all about Him. Salvation is all about Him. Glory is all about Him. It's all about Him. That's it. It's all about the Lord Jesus Christ. Him. God the Father declared this right here on the Mount of Transfiguration. If you look at verse 5, it says, "While he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, 'This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. Hear ye him.'" Hear him. That was the point of the message a few weeks ago. Hear him. The point of this Bible study is John the Baptist declared the same thing. He announced the way of the Lord. Hear him. Behold him. That's the declaration concerning Christ. Now let's look at what our text will be this morning. Verse 9 is where we left off last time. It says, "And as they came down from the mountain after this moment, Jesus charged them, saying, 'Tell the vision to no man until the Son of Man be risen again from the dead.'" Now verse 10 says, as they were coming down the mountain, "His disciples asked him, saying, 'Why then say the scribes that Elias," or Elijah, "must first come?' And Jesus answered and said unto them, 'Elias truly shall first come and restore all things. But I say unto you that Elias is come already, and they knew him not, but have done unto him whatsoever they listed. Likewise shall also the Son of Man suffer of them.' Then the disciples understood that he spake unto them of John the Baptist." He was talking about John the Baptist. Peter, James, and John had just seen Elijah in this transfiguration. And it sparked their memory. They said, "Lord, wasn't he supposed to come before you to set things straight and to prepare the way? Isn't that what the scriptures declared would be?" And the answer to that is yes. It did declare that. That is what the scripture said would be. Turn with me, if you would, to Isaiah 40. Isaiah Isaiah 40, here's the prophecy of the one that would prepare the way of the Lord. Isaiah 40, verse 6, it says, "The voice said, cry. And he said, what shall I cry?" Here it is. "All flesh is grass. All flesh is grass. And all the goodliness thereof is as the flower of the field. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it. Surely the people is grass. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. O Zion that bringest good tidings, get thee up into the high mountain. O Jerusalem that bringest good tidings, lift up thy voice with strength. Lift it up, be not afraid. Say unto the cities of Judah, behold your God. Behold, the Lord God will come with strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm, and carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young." That's beautiful, isn't it? That's beautiful. That was the prophecy of the declaration that was going to come to prepare and to announce the way of our Savior. And this prophecy was confirmed by the very last words of the Old Testament. If you'll go with me to Malachi chapter 3, last book of the Old Testament. Malachi 3 verse 1 says, "Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom you seek shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant whom you delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts." Look at Malachi chapter 4 verse 5. It says, "Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse." Now, we've already read in our text that our Lord revealed to his disciples that he was talking about John the Baptist. He was talking about John the Baptist. But something struck me as I was reading all this. Elijah actually came. He was talking about John the Baptist. But he brought Elijah too. Not one word of our Lord will fail. Not one word of our Lord will fail. And concerning this prophecy being about John the Baptist, this struck me also. Number one, John the Baptist came and this prophecy was fulfilled and nobody knew it. Nobody knew it. And it made me think, I wonder how many things there are that we're looking for and waiting for that possibly have already happened. Our Lord's ways are so much higher than our ways. Man thinks that he has God figured out. All of these things have to be revealed to us. They have to be revealed to us. That's the first thing that struck me. But the second thing is, our Lord never tried to hide the fact that he was talking about John the Baptist. Look with me, if you would, at Matthew 11. Matthew 11, verse 7. "As they departed, Jesus began to say unto the multitudes concerning John, what went ye out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken with the wind? But what went ye out for to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? Behold, they that wear soft clothing are in kings' houses. But what went ye out for to see? A prophet? Yea, I say unto you, and more than a prophet. For this is he of whom it is written, Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. Verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John. And if you will receive it, this is Elias, which was for to come. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Our Lord plainly told them it was John the Baptist, right here in Matthew 11. Now, all the way up in Matthew 17, they're still saying, what's all this Elias talk? What's the scripture saying about Elias, Elijah? What does that mean? We are so blind, aren't we? We're so blind. So ignorant, so deaf, so dumb. Our Lord was constantly saying, how many times do I have to tell you these things? For dumb sheep, it's over and over and over. I have to hear these things over and over. Well, here's the point we're trying to get to. John the Baptist had to prepare the way of the Lord because God said he had to. He had to. God said he would, therefore he had to. And this was the declaration that God gave to him to say. All right, number one, all flesh is grass. We need to learn that about this flesh. We need to learn that. All flesh is grass. Here is the message. Here's the declaration. All flesh is grass. Number two, behold your God. Oh, he or she that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Behold your God. Specifically, the Word of God. That's what Isaiah 40 said. The Word of God, which is Christ. The Word shall stand forever. He's going to stand forever. Number three, he will come with a strong hand and finish his work and gain his reward. He will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms. He'll carry them in his bosom and he'll gently lead those that are with young. That's what John was commissioned to declare. And that's what he declared. I just want to show you his declaration. All right, let me read John's declaration to you. And this is what I want to say. It's still ours. What was commissioned to John, that's what is commissioned to us. The message he was given, that's the message we're given. Let me read these two or three places to you. Turn to Matthew chapter 3 with me. Matthew 3, verse 1 says, In those days came John the Baptist, preaching in the wilderness of Judea, and saying, repent ye, have a changed mind. That's what that means, have a changed mind. That's what I say to Kingsport. That's what I say to us. That's what I say to myself. By the natural way of the flesh, have a changed mind. Have a changed mind about God. There is a way that seems right to man concerning God. The end of that way is destruction. Have a changed mind about man. Have a changed mind about salvation. Have a changed mind. Repent ye, verse 2, saying, Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. And the same John had his raiment of camel's hair and a leathern girdle about his loins, and his meat was locusts and wild honey. Then went out to him Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region round about Jordan, and were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins. Oh, we are such sinners. When God reveals the truth of the message, that's what men and women cry. We are such sinners. Sinners against God. Verse 7. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism to watch, to witness, these were those who believed their works could save them. These were those who believed they had a goodness in themselves that God would be pleased with and be happy with. And they had their own righteousness before God. They were not sinners, as others were confessing. Verse 7, but when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance. And I'll tell us now what that is, and we'll look at it in a minute. That's the fruit of faith. That's the fruit of faith. Verse 8, bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance. And think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. And now also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Therefore every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. But he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I'm not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. All flesh is grass. All flesh is grass. That's what he's saying. All flesh is grass. Wrath is coming. Wrath is coming. The fire is coming. Everything that doesn't live up to the holy, perfect law of God is going to be cast into the fire. But one is coming to deliver us. One is coming to deliver us. A deliverer is coming. Look to him. That's the message. Look to him. Turn with me over to John chapter 1. John chapter 1, verse 15. John bare witness of him and cried, saying, this was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. Every time I thought of John the Baptist, I thought of an axe and a root. You know, just John had the sweetest message there is to tell. Verse 16, of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. No man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, hath declared him. And this is the record of John, when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, who art thou? And he confessed and denied not, but confessed, I'm not the Christ. And they asked him, what thou? Art thou Elias? And he said, I'm not. I'm not Elijah. Art thou that prophet? The scripture said, I'll send a prophet. A prophet's coming. He answered, no. Then said they unto him, who art thou, that we may give an answer to them that sent us? What sayest thou of thyself? He said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Don't you love his humility? He wouldn't even give his name. I'm the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Isaiah. And they which were sent were of the Pharisees. And they asked him and said unto him, why baptizest thou then, if thou be not that Christ, nor Elias, neither that prophet? John answered them, saying, I baptize with water, but there standeth one among you whom you know not. He it is who coming after me is preferred before me, whose shoes latchet I'm not worthy to unloose. These things were done in Bethabara beyond Jordan, where John was baptizing. The next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him and said, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. I wish I could declare that in a way that would reach men and women. If you from sin are longing to be free, look to the Lamb of God. Doesn't that sound so simple? That's impossible without the hand and gift and work of Almighty God in a sinner, in one of His own. But if He does that for us, that's all we have to do. Just look to Him. Just look to Him. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, look and live. I love the story of Charles Spurgeon. He was preaching in a grand hall there in London one time. And before the service started, he was there early and he wanted to test the acoustics in the building. And he walked out, stood at the pulpit, and he cried at the top of his lungs, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. And as the story goes, a janitor was up in the rafters cleaning out cobwebs, and it says it just smote him. And he came that night to hear Brother Spurgeon preach, and God opened his soul. And I pray God will open my soul, and I pray God will open your soul, to realize all this flesh is grass. It's just withering and fading. It's good for nothing but being cut down. Let's not be shocked when grass gets cut down. Behold the Lamb. Look to the Lamb. Look to the Lamb of God. He said, behold your God, God manifest in the flesh. Behold the God-man Savior. Look to Him. Verse 30, it says, this is He of whom I said, after me cometh a man, which is preferred before me, for he was before me. And I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore am I come, baptizing with water. And John bare record, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him. And I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizeth with the Holy Ghost. And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God. And I just love these next couple of verses here. Again, the next day after, John stood and two of his disciples. Here's John standing with two men who listen to him and stay with him and follow him. Verse 36, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, John said to those two men, behold the Lamb of God. And those two disciples heard him and they followed the Lord Jesus Christ. That was John's joy. That was his glory. That was the message yesterday. John, you know, cried this, and it says the next day he saw the Lord coming, and then the next day he told those two disciples. That's the message yesterday. That's the message today. That's the message tomorrow. Behold the Lamb of God. All flesh is grass. Behold your God. He is the comfort of our souls. He's the protector. He's the provider. He is life itself. He's life itself. All right, I'm done. Turn to John 3. John chapter 3, verse 25 says, then there arose a question between some of John's disciples and the Jews about purifying. And they came unto John and said unto him, Rabbi, he that was with thee beyond Jordan, to whom thou bearest witness, behold, the same baptizeth, and all men come to him. John answered and said, a man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven. You yourselves bear me witness that I said I am not the Christ, but that I am sent before him. He that hath the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom, which standeth and heareth him, rejoiceth greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. This my joy therefore is fulfilled. He said, I rejoice in him. I went to a wedding yesterday. And as I was standing there, we all stood while this man and this woman walked in. And I couldn't help but think, I looked around and it was, as far as I know, pretty much all believers there. And I couldn't help but think of the scene of heaven. Everything that's in heaven, all the angels and the cherubims and the seraphims and everything that's in heaven, watching this man and his bride come in. We were all so happy for the two of them. We rejoiced in what God had done and what was taking place. And it was all about them. It was all about this one name, Pruitt. It was all about one name. That was his name. After that ceremony was over, that was her name. That was Miss Pruitt. And I can't help but just rejoice in the thought that all of heaven is going to rejoice over this one name, Christ. And that's his name. And in union with him, that's her name. The Lord our righteousness, the Lord our righteousness. Oh, John said, this is my joy. This is my joy. Verse 30, he must increase. I must decrease. He that cometh from above is above all. He that is of the earth is earthly and speaketh of the earth. He that cometh from heaven is above all. And what he hath seen and heard, that he testifieth, and no man receiveth his testimony. He that hath received his testimony hath set to his seal that God is true. For he whom God hath sent speaketh the words of God. For God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him. The Father loveth the Son and hath given all things into his hand. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. May God open our hearts to understand that. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. What does that mean? That means everlasting life. This flesh is grass, but the soul is not. That's so. This flesh may be cast into this, what we call the furnace of death, but the soul won't be. Verse 36, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. Oh, he that believeth on the Son. He that believes on the Son, life. Life in him. What do we have? Life in him. Life with him. Life. I love Pilgrim's Progress when John Bunyan is so sick and tired of everybody and their brother trying to pull him away from, and he sticks his fingers in his ears, running, crying, life, life, eternal life. And he runs through that straight and narrow gate, makes it to the foot of the cross, and he looks up and the whole burden falls off of his back. That's what's going to happen to us. This whole burden, when life comes, when we're delivered from the body of this death and life comes, we're carrying a burden, we got a burden, it's all so burdensome, it's so burdensome. Then all of a sudden, he's going to come to his temple, suddenly. And when we see him, that burden will fall off. Life. Let me stop. I said I was going to close and I'm done. Normally when I say that, I'm done. That was the declaration that prepared the way of his coming. That is the declaration that will prepare the way of His return. It's the same declaration. It's the same glorious news. All flesh is grass. The furnace of God's judgment is burning. Therefore, He's the only hope we have. Look to the Lamb of God. Look to the Lamb of God. Christ, God's holy, spotless, provided Lamb. He's the only hope we have. He's the shepherd of the sheep. He's going to gather all of His lambs in His arms. He's going to carry them in His bosom. All the way to glory. Look to the Lamb of God. Now, in a moment, Lord willing, we're going to see how to look to the Lamb of God. All right, you're dismissed.